Reading season ends with a whimper as Brighton pip us to the final playoff post at the very last minute. Welcome to the Tyler Stem Podcast, episode 32, our end of season retrospective. We are coming to you live from the Hope Tap in Reading, and I'm joined not just by my regular co-hosts, Mr. Johnny Williams and Mr. Alan West.
The usuals.
Yeah, we've been joined by some new faces, or new voices to the crowd. Steve and Simon from the website, you might know them as Bucks Royal and Royal Hoops. You're a fan of your tweets of the week. So gents, welcome. So to keep it live, we're hoping we'll be at the Menaceki Stadium watching Reading face Derby.
Unfortunately, we had a gap in our calendars to do this, didn't we?
Yeah, exactly. A date came up.
We picked a pub that isn't showing that football.
Thanks, Mr. Aloha.
Indeed.
Giving us this Thursday night off. Mm. Only one place to start then, gents. 2-2 draw with Burnley ends Reading season. I'm not going to crow about being pessimistically right, but I said to Charles on the podcast extra, I just thought there was one last sting in the tail, and unfortunately, it happened. I mean, what do you put it down to? Were Reading not good enough for you? Were Burnley too good? Or was it just a case of a bit of both?
It was a strange sort of last 15 minutes in that we, you know, when we were 2-1 down, we were definitely pressing for an equaliser, but then for the last 15 minutes, that intensity seemed to dip, and I don't know whether Atkins was sort of saying, all right, let's lock in for the draw, because Brighton are drawing as well. And we certainly weren't sort of going with that intensity to get the winner, obviously, because we thought, well, Burnley could hit us on the break and, you know, put it beyond doubt for everyone. And then, obviously, injury time comes along, Sal Bibbo appears from the dugout, waving Alex McCarthy forward, and the whole stadium thinks, oh, no, what's happened here? And then, yeah, all of a sudden, joy just goes to, well, the depths of despair, really.
It's good drama, though, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it didn't go for us, but it was good drama at the end.
Was there any way you could see after that Mackinough/own goal to put Reading 1 up? Was there any way from there you could see Reading messing up? Because usually when they go ahead...
Yeah, there was, actually.
Yeah. but usually when they go ahead, and Della's been trotting out this stat for weeks now, when they go ahead...
Which was originally broadcast on the Tilehurst end, I might add.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Williams.
Thank you.
Drop that in.
But anyway, the Reading, when they go ahead, they generally win. I'm sure they had... Was it the best record in the league when they go ahead?
It was second best record when they go ahead, and let's not talk about when they go behind, but yeah.
But no, they'd ended that hoodoo against Doncaster, and obviously, so when they fell behind again in this game, you thought, oh, well, maybe the comeback was on. Steve, did you think that Reading were going to get that third goal after McCleary hits an absolute worldie?
It was such a good goal, wasn't it? I did. I actually, because they were playing so well, this is the best we've played for like quite a long time. Like, consistently over the course of a whole game, we played quite well. Obviously, didn't carry on the momentum towards the end of the game, which was disappointing. But it did look like, you know, Burnley were troubling us when they did attack, but they weren't really attacking all that often. So it did feel like we could get it, and it just didn't really happen.
It was frustrating that we had at least two chances. McCleary put three one-on-one.
Oh, and horrible.
I mean, the Pogremiak, well, I was on my feet celebrating. I thought that was in, and then suddenly Shackle, who shouldn't have been on the pitch, suddenly appears again to clear it off the line again.
I mean, they defended for their lives, didn't they, Burnley? You'd have thought they actually needed them points.
I mean,
fair play to them. That's what you want, I suppose. If you're any other side, you want to see the team that's coming down, putting in the full effort. You can't complain. But at the end of the day, I think a lot of people have said it this week, that it wasn't that game that Reading didn't get in the playoffs for. It was the games against Sheffield and Barnes at home that they blew. And if they'd have put in them sort of performance at home all season, then we'd probably been in the top two.
Yeah, and I've got to give credit to Burnley. Like you said, they put in everything. And Danny Ings, what a talent. Mm. I mean, that finish, that goal. I mean, you talk about the likes of Lafondre being a good finisher, but I mean, he showed his class, and the way they were getting in behind Reading, they weren't playing 110% full pelt.
No.
It was still exposed some of Reading's flaws this season. And
that one of their goals, and we've been saying all season, they can see the same sort of goal every other week, Reading. If you look a lot of the games of Reading conceded, they're all running the same direction, unless someone stood just by the penalty spot to say, thanks very much, I'll put the ball in there. Yeah, we've been saying this for weeks.
Yeah, a bit of an unfortunate clearance from Ledgerwood as well. Sort of a half clearance that failed him. It's just so deflating, really. And obviously, at the end of the game, summed up by the pitch invasion,
the comical pitch invasion.
We've got a few questions and a few tweets on this, but Simeon, be honest, were you one of those on the pitch?
I wasn't actually. I thought about doing it because I was in the. I was sort of in the middle of the positive section of the crowd. They didn't really sort of. quite realise what was going on. Everyone thought that Forest had got an equaliser, but
who's spread this rumour?
I don't know. I've heard two different theories. One theory was apparently that somebody on Five Live had said, we're going to go to the City Ground where there's been, it's 2-2 here, and then
late
somebody
drama or something.
Yeah, and then people went on. Another theory was something happened on Sky Sports. They got relayed down from the boxes or something. But
I heard something up in the Upper West, and there was like a bit of a cheer there, and then and then suddenly over in the East Stand, like over in the corner by the South Stands, that's when the big cheer came up and that's when the invasion started. So I don't know.
Do you reckon it was a scam though? Do you reckon a group of lads got together for a common pretend they scored?
Oh, it was definitely a sheep mentality, wasn't it? I mean, someone on the pitch, another was just thought. I mean, I was listening to the radio and I was thinking, what he did. I was hoping against hope that maybe my feed had been delayed or something.
Yeah, I had a text from a mate saying, well, it's definitely finished 2-1, so the Sky commentators are pretty confused while you're on the pitch.
So
as well.
Embarrassing.
My dad was watching it on Sky Go in the stand, so he knew exactly what was going on because he was watching the game.
How has he managed to get a signal?
I don't know why.
I can't get a text message.
Must have a good network.
He's probably taken up all the bandwidth. I can't get any.
Plugs directly in.
Exactly.
If you watched on the telly, they were flicking to every Brighton attack.
Yeah.
So, as they come forward, they flick over, Sky would flick over on the television, so you constantly was biting your fingernails, thinking, oh, this one's in. Mm-hmm. And when it went last minute, everyone I knew was watching on the telly thought, this is a goal, full come over, Bengals.
Yeah, I've got to admit, I said I was listening to it, and I did think, you know what, we're probably just about going to hang on here. It's not great, but we're going to do it. But, as I said, Reading through the kitchen sink at Burnley, they had the chances. And as I said, it was probably one of Reading's best games of the season, and certainly one of the most entertaining games we've seen since, well, if you count the thrashings of, if you discount those thrashings, then certainly the Watford game, probably. But, I mean, so entertainment-wise, good end to the season, but as I said, unfortunately, we're not in the playoffs. Brighton got their end of the bargain done, and as I said, now we're sat here.
It's just frustrating because you look at the Leicester game as well, we played well there, we played well against Middlesbrough. When we've actually needed to pull through and get some results, we've managed to do it and put the performances in on the pitch. And it just makes you wonder why they haven't done that for the rest of the season, especially in the middle of the season where, you know, I mean, people always say, you know, you get 6 points at the end of the season, but they all count the same towards the points total. And whether it was especially Yeovil, Millwall, Bournemouth, you know, the list goes on, but there's so many games where we could have and should have got more.
I think all of us, the last three games of the season, you said Reading's going to get 7 points from there, you'd have been quite happy with that, wouldn't you? And as it turns out,
well, we'd written off the season pretty much, hadn't we? When we sat down to record a couple of weeks ago and we pretty much went off on both barrels against a lot of them, I think that was after the Wigan game. And Charles, you know, said to me on when we did the last podcast, actually said there was no way driving home from that game I could see Reading getting in the playoffs. And I said, you know what, it basically, it's just in a way that Reading season, after so long being prolonged by other teams not getting the job done, that it was ended by another team actually getting their bit of business done. So
I think that when you look at it over the course of the season, if you look at the amount of injuries and the trouble and the strife that's been around the ground, they've done well to get anywhere near it.
Yeah, and we'll have a bit more of a sort of a look back on the year in general to come. But as I said, that about wraps it up. Reading 2, Burnley 2, season over, and time to move on to some news bites.
Reading News Bites on the Tarlhurst End podcast.
Right, welcome back to News Bites. As I said, Reading season ended by that Burnley draw on coming 7th, and the cuts have started already. Reading announced 5 senior players are going to be leaving the club. Joby McEnough, Caspers Gorks, Mikael Leisurewood, Stuart Taylor and Wayne Bridge have all left. They're still in negotiations with a couple of younger players, Jake Taylor and Michael Hector, but they're out of contract and are free to go if they choose. Five names, guys, all of them have played for Reading and played a major role, all by the exception of Bridge, played in the Premier League. And say McEnough, Gorks and Leisurewood, key cogs in that promotion winning side 2 years ago. Sad to see him go. Simin, start with you.
I'm sad for Joby, Gorks and Leisurewood particularly, because they were so influential in that McDermott side. They were very much the backbone. They had a lot of appearances, and I think particularly the experience in that season with a couple of young players, and we've had young players since, they must have helped them come along quite a lot. But it's time to move. Yeah, it's time to move on.
Westy, you were doing a bit of a gesture as I mentioned those names.
I was punching the air when Gorks' name came out.
Any of those 5 you sad to see go?
No, not any of them, because like you just said there, you can't keep dwelling on the past. These players are getting past their prime, and if you want to move forward, you have to start moving people on. Good sides don't keep players once they're getting past their prime, they move them on. Makhanov, I think he's done well this year. I think he made a difference coming in, sort of galvanising them a little bit. I don't think he was great on the pitch. Ledgerwood, how many games is he going to play for you next year? He's not played for a year. All right, he's put in a couple of decent performances, but one knock and he'll be out again for 3 or 4 months. Bridges finished, we know that. Who do we have? Gorks and Makhanov. Gorks was great. Gorks done a really good job this year. But he's just not good enough anymore. It's time to move him on.
Yeah,
that's for Taylor. That bloke's been stealing a living for years. I don't know how he gets. Yeah. I don't know how he gets a club.
Has he ever been first choice anywhere?
I think I made first team appearances in a professional team.
Yeah, he got a game for Reading at the Emirates.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Like 4-0, didn't we?
4-1. Don't forget Hal Robson-Kanu getting his usual with 3-0 down goal.
Yeah, great goal.
Cracking Gale, remember that.
But no, they need to be moved on. And at the end of the day, we haven't got a lot of money in the club and they're probably quite high owners, so they're going to get nudged on.
Yeah, and Johnny, it is this financial consideration that is sort of overshadowing everything in the club. Obviously, we're not privy to the exact details, but it doesn't take, you know, a genius to work out that Reading haven't got a lot of money. If they can't afford to give Chris Baird 2-month, 3-month contract, they're not going to be in a position to hand out 2-3 year deals. So, and you know, you can read more about some of the possible financial troubles. Go onto the website. John Keane's written a really good piece called "The Choice of Chairman John," that fills that in. But as I said, they've released these five guys. In an ideal world, would they have at least made offers to these guys, or do you think this was just a simple case of we actually don't want them?
Well, I kind of always got the feeling, I don't know about other people, but Makhanov was never really Adkins' guy.
No.
Especially at the start of the season, I don't think he particularly played Makhanov for...
He didn't.
Certainly the first third of the season. And he was sort of divvying the armband around, and then, you know, he sort of brought him in, realised that Makhanov did have a bit of an effect on the squad. And it is, you know, it's one of those things of taking out the old regime and bringing in the new regime. We talk about the finances. You know, these players are at the end of their contracts, and we've got a lot of players in the squad who can replace them. Think of the amount of wingers we've got, if you include Abita as a winger there. The amount of centre-backs we've got Piers Morrison, Hector, probably a couple more coming through.
We've also, Johnny, sorry, but only, we've also got a lot of high earners that they won't be able to get rid of. Mm. They won't be able to move
on.
So they're going to have to get rid of someone, and they're in their contracts. And again, how many games are they going to play for you next year?
And these aren't saleable assets either.
No.
I don't, you know, they're 31, 32. If you move them on, you're going to get tuppence for them. So we may as well just sort of let them go and, you know, start afresh next year. Because I think there are people to replace Joby, maybe not in a leadership sense, but certainly on the field. You can replace Ledgerwood as well, assuming you keep everyone fit.
Oh, Karajan will be back.
Karajan,
well,
Williams has missed a lot of games. Gorks, you know, Pearce and Morrison, I think, has always been the first two for Adkins, and then you've got Hector there if he decides to stay. And then we've got at least three keepers to keep Taylor out. So, you know, there's certainly a lot of options there. I think it's the right time.
Yeah, especially the keepers, it's a never-ending production line. You've not just got the three, you know, Anderson, Federici, McCarthy. You've got John Henley, who's a Scotland under-21.
You've Anderson, did we say?
Yes, yeah. Anderson. You've got Dan Lincoln and Stuart Moore, who have done well for the academy this year. Steve, then finishing with you. Sad to see any of those guys go?
No. None of them.
No.
Bang.
To be honest, they're remnants of the McDermott era, and Adkins isn't anything like McDermott. So, you know, they were stalwarts under McDermott, but they won't be under Adkins, so they, you know, need to go.
If you look at what Adkins done when he first got in, when he was in the Premier League, I think Ledgerwood played for us against Arsenal, and he dragged him off because every time he got the ball, he lost it or he gave it away.
Yeah.
I think since then he thought, well, I don't really need you, the service to require.
I will stick up for Ledgerwood a little bit, because I did think, especially on the last day of the season, I thought you saw what Ledgerwood brings to a side, the way he nicked the ball a few times.
Yeah, I know, he's perfect.
And he was against one of the best teams in the league, and he put in, I thought, a very good performance.
No, he's good at nicking a ball in the Championship, but again, how long is he going to do it for? He's been out for a year.
Yeah, and with financial consideration and the fact, as we've mentioned, you've got Williams, Guthrie, Karachan, Akpan, plus the likes of maybe Jake Taylor and Cool and players like that coming through. You can't hold on, you can't stockpile, and that's probably what Reading got it wrong this year, because they were stockpiling too many players. I mean, it turned out through injuries that they did actually need them all, but if you look at the situation they found themselves in, you know, three right backs this season, Kelly, Cummins, and not to mention, you could have said at the start of the season that players like Karachan could have played right back as well. So
Stephen Kelly must be on a fair wage.
Well, signing the Premier League from a Premier League side,
there's another one stealing a living.
You've got to stop this relentless Kelly bashing.
I hate him, rubbish.
Throughout the season. It's funny, on the way here, we were talking about maybe getting some Tullison t-shirts made, and I was thinking, well, we haven't really got that many slogans or things we're known for, and Berkshire name are excluded.
Yeah.
But I was thinking, players we hate, and it would, we wouldn't have enough room on the back of the t-shirt.
Yeah, one that says off the bandwagon, yeah. One that says on the bandwagon.
A load of Reading players
changing every week.
Yeah, a load of Reading players falling off a bandwagon.
No. But getting back to the M5 players, I mean, none of them, apart from Bridges, obviously retired now, none of them fit Atkins' way of playing football.
No.
That's why they've serviced the requirement.
Yeah, well, moving on, let's have some great news, because we may not have got promotion, but Reading have been given a Family Excellence Award.
Woo-hoo.
So congratulations.
A win's a win.
Indeed. I joked that it was due to the boringness of the football played, that it kept the noise levels down,
yeah.
And really kept the kids happy.
Yeah, it must be that.
But no, in all seriousness, Reading do a lot for kids and to create a good family atmosphere. They do that fun zone outside North Standard. You know, they do create a good atmosphere, so credit to the club, well deserved. And so it's always nice to be rewarded with these things.
Win's
so there you
win.
Go. Indeed, we'll move on straight from that. Not really much more to say about that.
Swiftly.
Player of the season then. We'll come on to our own player of the season thoughts in pub chat, but worth saying that the official club vote, Jordan Obita won it.
Yeah.
There you go. Second place was Chris Gunter and third was Danny Williams. And we ran our own poll on the Tullison website as well, and Jordan Obita won that. And our second and third was flipped round. Danny Williams came second for us and Gunter third. But generally those three names in the frame. And gents, any problems with that order?
No, none at all. I think all of them have been steady all season. That's all you can say, really. Mm-hmm. Without being spectacular, they've all been steady.
Yeah. I think Williams has been one of the players that we've missed in the games that he hasn't played. I think you could have seen the same with Karachan as well. If Karachan and Williams had played together for the whole of this season, I think we'd have done a lot better. And, you know, Karachan probably pushing it. If Karachan had carried his form through for the whole season, he'd be pushing it for player of the season as well. I think, you know, Reading fans love the homegrown players, and that's half the reason.
I suppose the other question is, if you're not picking them three, then who would you put in there other than them three?
Well, the only thing I'd say is, obviously, you know, I vote on the Tullison website, I put the case for Pavel Pogrebniak. But it's funny, though, we were listening to little bits of our Christmas podcast about who we were saying were the players of the season in December, and all the talk was of Pavel Pogrebniak and Danny Guthrie. Mm. And those two guys won all five of our first player of the month votes. And Jordan Obita wasn't, let's be completely honest here, Jordan Obita wasn't really a relevant factor up until the new year. He came in sort of around January, didn't he, when they finally gave up playing Cummings and Kelly at left back. But it's the most recent memories people have of him, and the fact that he's an academy product, I think, has swayed. I mean, don't get me wrong, I think he's had a good season.
Yeah.
But for me personally, if I was looking over the whole season, just on what I've seen on the pitch, I might have given the Pog certainly not in the top three.
Yeah, maybe.
Because I thought he put it in, and especially for me, he was great in games where the team was awful. He was the one player you could sit there and go, you know what, he's given us all. But I mean, people have got a problem. Obviously, he's got a massive wage and he should be playing well at this level. So
if he hit 20
I can
goals,
understand
he,
it.
He might have a different story if he did hit 20 this season.
Yeah, but no Reading player was going to hit 20 goals. I looked, you know, I trotted out the stats. He was having 1.8 shots a game.
On his money, he should be scoring 3 goals.
I think it's worth an honourable mention to Alex McCarthy.
Oh yeah, certainly. Yeah.
I don't know how many points we would have dropped without him in goal. And
especially early season.
Really
especially
good.
Early, yeah.
Federici is really good, but McCarthy has saved us numerous times. Distribution could probably work.
He's kicking,
worked
yeah.
on, yeah. But other than that, he's been amazing.
There is something with Reading fans and fullbacks, though, isn't there? If you look at the number of fullbacks that won our Player of the Season vote, you know, the likes of Kerr, Chris Armstrong. Did Shorey win it one year?
Murty won it.
Yeah, Murty's obviously won it a couple of times.
Didn't Ian Hart won it once?
I don't think Ian Hart's won the club's player one. I know he was named in the team of the year.
Yeah, he was
in the PFA.
Yeah.
But Andy Gurney, did he get one?
Don't think so. I think Martin Booty edged him out.
Burnell. Yeah.
Hey, Burnell got into a.
He edged him out.
Burnell was voted into the dream team by me. And picked by the fans to be the best. So there you go.
Mm.
Pick right out of the bushes.
Yeah, that's what I said, hedged him out.
Oh dear. Anyway, but no, I said congratulations to Jordan Obita, well deserved. He's firmly in the running to be, he's made the final cut for our Player of the Month, which we'll come on to later as well.
Has he made the final cut for the England squad?
He has, he's been named into the under 20 squad for the Toulon tournament.
Oh, okay. I was going for the full squad, but.
Oh, deserves to be there.
Left back, you got half a chance, didn't
you? Well, no, if anything, he hasn't. I mean,
get third position.
Fourth.
Shaw, Baines.
Cole, Baines, yeah.
Hang on, you're saying they're all better than Obita? Come on.
They were plenty of.
I'll tell you what though, left wing he's probably got half a chance. There's not a lot of left wing talent out there. No, exactly. Stuart Downing.
There you go, they're in.
Anyway, so yeah, congratulations to Jordan. And Chris, quick word on Chris Gunter as well. I thought he had a good season. Very solid. I don't think he was a spectacular player, but
he was that 7 out of 10, wasn't he?
Yeah.
You know, he might have made a couple of mistakes, but he got forward well, put in a few good crosses. I still think he's a rabbit in the headlights whenever he gets the ball. He's just looking to get rid straight away.
That's a whole back four, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, that's it. With him, it's either the boot up a wing or give it to Pierce or centre back. There's not really another pass from him. But no, he's been solid, 7 out of 10.
Yeah. A couple of other little tiny bits of news. Just a quick good wishes to Dr. Jeff Williams on his retiring after 32 years as club doctor. So,
I know him, I delivered to him.
Did
you? Yeah, my son's doctor.
Very nice. But like I said, give him 32 years of service at any club, company or whatever is a massive achievement. And wish him all the best in his retirement. Nice to see him get to lead the teams out on Saturday. And finally, just a quick plug of our goal of the season poll.
Well, what's one now?
we were just going to name it the Gareth McCleary goal of the season Gareth poll. Simeon, can you see anybody else other than Gareth McCleary winning that?
Carol Robson Carnu's developed quite a knack for long range consolation goals, particularly in games that haven't really sort of helped us in the long term. But Adam Lafondre's volley against Watford back in September.
Yeah, it was a good
goal. That one stands out in memory as well.
Yeah, a few good goals. But I said McCleary's strike against Burnley and then QPR, or his one at QPR, both two QPR goals.
I think the one against QPR was better.
Yeah, it was a good goal.
The second one from about 25 yards.
Don't know, it's close, but I think he's going to win it. But anyway, head over to tylersen.com, vote on your winner, and we'll announce it in the next podcast, whenever that may be.
We're not speaking about Royston Drenthe's revelations.
Yeah, we can.
Yeah, let's
we
do
can.
It. Did everyone see this?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
Well, basically, for those of you who haven't seen it, Royston Drenthe came out with a comment on Instagram. He was basically getting into a bit of a heated argument with fans.
Was he in a pub?
No. No, he was just arguing on Instagram. Basically, he said, the reason I wasn't playing over January is because the club wanted to get rid of me because someone left, which I think reading between the lines is Anton Zingarevich. Don't think it takes too much of a genius to work that one out.
No, yeah.
But yeah, so he said they're basically trying to get him out because of his wages. Obviously, Charles wrote up the story in the Reading Post this week. I'm done with Royston Drenthe. I said last week, I'm off the bandwagon. I just want him out of the club as soon as possible. I don't really care what he says.
No. Now. What's interesting, what made me laugh, was quite interesting about it, was he said to somebody that the wages I'm getting aren't what you think they are. But this is from a bloke who played for Real Madrid, who's probably on about 40-50 grand a week.
Yeah.
So they are obviously going to be higher, so he'd never come here. And I think, again, he's let their manager down. He's let everyone down, I think, this year, because he's not shown anywhere near the sort of form that everyone believed he was going to. Yeah. I personally think.
Yeah, no, I placed a tenner on him at the start of the season with my mates, saying he'd end up with more goals and assists than anyone else, because I was convinced he, like, set the league alight.
He should have done, really.
He's just flopped massively. It's been a massive disappointment.
Well, we do obviously the View from the Town End feature every week, and we did season previews as well, and every team we spoke to said, oh, Royston Drenthe, that's an amazing signing. And even halfway through the season, even when he'd not been doing well, everyone was still scared of Royston Drenthe.
Yeah.
And he really had the ability to have that kind of Adel Taarabt style season where he basically single-handedly wins your promotion. Yeah. He just didn't do it.
Yeah.
Didn't score a goal till after Christmas, and then he only got one, as we said last week. Massar's got more goals in his Reading career, and he ended the season with one more goal than Stephen Kelly.
Yeah, exactly. I'd said to him he was another Massar when he first turned up.
You did say it.
Absolute waste of space.
Yeah, maybe that could be our T-shirt. More Massar. Yeah.
He did win a shed Massar. Load of free kicks though, didn't he?
He did. He did.
Yeah.
To me, though, his entire Reading career was summed up by the Bournemouth game. Simi, I know you were there as well. Yeah. When he failed to square that easy ball to Lafondre and instead wanted to take it on his right foot and ended up basically falling over.
Yeah. It'll always go for the glory moment rather than whatever's best for the team. And it'll never work at championship level.
It's an interesting debate, though, because if Reading, obviously Reading will be trying to shift him on desperately this summer, but if Reading don't shift him on, what do you do with him? Because he'll be taking up a wage whether he's getting played or not. So if you're Nigel Atkins, do you put your shoulder around him and say?
Well, that's to be fair, that's what Atkins did in February and March. Is, you know,
and he had a good month, to be fair.
Yeah,
to him.
No, he did. I thought he should have probably won Player of the Month in March because he was, you know, he was man of the match, voted by Tyler Stem readers in three of those games. And to be fair to him, he did have a decent March. He's one of those players who either you hate or you love. He either excites you with everything he does. I mean, you know, you can still hear the cheers going up when he, you know, does a couple of step overs or whatever. Or you just think, get on with it, play football. In terms of him, you know, I'd see how he's motivated next season, but he is that sort of track player that you almost need to carry in a team. You need to just let him do his own thing, stick him in the middle, out of harm's way.
But again, I mean, what do you do? I mean, Steve, what do you do? Do you try and integrate him and keep him involved in the club, or do you just say, go away and train with the reserves and we're just going to have to grin and bear your wages?
I think it's easy to forget that at the start of the season, Grebniak wasn't doing great either, because he was looking to leave, wasn't he? He was flopping around, falling over, not doing much, and then realised that he was hanging around, so Adkins was like, go on then, show everyone what you've got, and then hopefully at the end of the season you can move on, we can lose your wages, but in the meantime you've scored a few goals for us, so... Yeah. I can see that could work, although Pog and Dredd are different characters and different attitudes, so you know, you never know.
It's just not a team player, you know what I mean? He's not a team player, he's never going to be one.
But I'm just saying, if you've got this, you know, 30 grand a week millstone around your neck.
If you're paying him, you might as well give him some games, because he can't. The thing is, what annoys you about Dredd is you know he's got the talent, you know he can do it, he's just got the attitude that he ain't going, basically. And it's a shame, because it could be a brilliant side.
Yeah. I just want a light switch.
But
to go
it's never
going to
happen, I don't think.
Well, there's a reason. There's a reason.
Still a bit of Real Madrid, yeah.
Yeah, there's a reason you bounce around the leagues and you end up playing in the Championship.
Yeah. It's such a waste of a career. I don't know why he's doing this.
Anyway, we'll have a talk about some of the players that might or may not be involved next season a little bit later on. But we'll just round up the 2013-14 season with our end of season awards coming up in Pub Chat.
The Tarlhurst End Podcast. By Reading fans, for Reading fans.
Right, welcome back to Pub Chat, in a pub, chatting.
Classic.
Where it should be.
Well, that's what it's designed for.
Indeed. And I said, just before the break, going to round up this season gone by with our end of season awards. Now we're going to start with Player of the Season, which I think is going to be a short one.
And the next one.
Yeah, and the next one. Jordan Ibiza, is there any disagreement? I said I might just slide towards Grebniak.
The thing is, we all wrote our own sort of articles on who we thought should be player of the season. I went for Danny Williams, just because, not because he shares my name, but nothing to do with it at all. But, you know, because he has, in most of the games he's played in, he's looked like man of the match or close to man of the match. He's been that sort of box-to-box like Sidwell that we had a long time ago.
To be fair to Danny Williams, he's adapted very well to Championship football.
He has, yeah.
Which is sometimes difficult.
Nice to hear him in Get Reading this week saying as well that he's very happy at Reading and hopes to stay around, so that's good. Simeon, any other votes? Can't remember who you went for now.
I went for Gareth McCleary, but I think that's on the balance things, probably Chris Gunter, just because of his... He's been consistent throughout the season. You can always rely on him.
I'm a bit surprised McCleary didn't get a few more votes, because when you look at, you know, some of the goals, and he was certainly leading the Championships in assists for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Let's face it, he's our match winner as well. If he plays well, then really play well in general.
But there's
I don't know. I mean, he started on the wing on Saturday, and then they put him in the middle. And you know, it was just give it to McCleary and see what he does. You know, in that sort of game, McCleary can tear teams apart like Kebe used to be able to.
Yeah.
Just didn't really connect with the voters for whatever reason.
No, but again, I think the thing is, McCleary, he's had a few. He's a typical winger in many ways. That he will have one or two really brilliant games, and then he'll float out of matches. So probably that's why he didn't get it. Because I know he's been very good, but has he been consistently good all season? Probably not.
Steve, you've been the most vocal advocate for Jordan Ibiza all season. Just sum up very briefly why he deserved it.
I think it's partly the academy effect. The fact that he's come out of the academy, broke into the team this season, and then been shuffled around so often, left wing, centre mid, centre attacking mid, left back, all shoved around and done really well. And I think he's been consistently decent, and he's been our best set piece taker. So,
I mean, actually, you're right there, because that shows how good he is, that the fact that they will play him in different positions. You know what I mean? A lot of players just can play right back, they can play left back, but he's been forced to play left back when he doesn't even know the game. He's been put in midfield at times when he's struggling. So it just goes to prove what high regard they must have for him and what a good player he must be if he can go and do that in his first season, don't forget, in the Championship.
Yeah, and I said I've got no problem at all with him winning. I think he's deserved, and it's nice to see an academy product get that recognition. So
it's whether he can go on from that, though. Whether he can have a better season next year.
Just quickly on Ibiza then, would you keep... Obviously, Wayne Bridge is gone, so there's no recognised left-back at the entire football club now, right, unless you want to go back to putting Kelly or Cummins there. Do you plan ahead with Jordan Ibiza as your left-back, or do you plan ahead to try and get someone in so you can move him forward?
footballers are people. I'm sure he doesn't want to play left back. I think you've got to try and get a new left back, because ultimately, eventually, he's going to go into Atkins and say, look, I've done this for half a season. I don't want to do it anymore. I want to, you know, he said he wants to play in the middle of the midfield, sort of like just behind the striker. Out on the wing, he's looked decent as well. He doesn't want another season at left back just because the club can't afford to buy a new left back.
I think it's a shame for left-footed footballers. They do tend to get put on the left. You know, if you're a right-footed footballer, you get put in the middle, or you can play on the right. But left-footed footballers end up playing left back or left midfield. So I think, yeah, I think he's more than good enough to play in midfield. Like I say, it depends whether he can progress again next year and move on from what he's done this year.
Yeah,
I think he can, because he's definitely a good footballer, and I think it won't be long before you get other people looking at him thinking he can play in the Premier League.
Yeah.
Shane Griffin played against Oman, didn't he? So he's been on the bench a couple of times, I think. So
yeah.
Maybe he's worth, probably Atkins will try him out pre-season and see what happens, but you know, we've got a couple of youngsters.
It's whether you can have two young players playing down one wing.
They do need some experience though, even if it's just as a backup. They need someone like...
The person that should be doing it is Robson Kanu. Again, we can go to him. He should be playing
for left back.
Well, left midfield now. Left back.
No, I'm just talking about they need a more. I think they need an experienced option for left back.
Kanu should be making his move into the left side of midfield now. Now there's no Mackenough anymore, but I bet he doesn't.
Well, come on.
Keeps playing him as a striker, so I'm not sure.
Yeah,
I think he knows what his best.
I'm sure Harry Robson Kanu's going to come up in another category coming up soon.
Yeah,
so,
I didn't notice that third one now.
But just generally, then, happy with the beta as player of the season.
Yeah, he's done brilliant.
Yeah, okay.
We'll go with it. Jordan Beater wins our player of the season on the podcast, on the website and on the official site. He's completed the triple crown.
A hat trick.
He has. Picked up a hat trick. Well done, Jordan. Most improved player. Now, before we came on air, we were having a bit of a talk about this category because people said, oh, surely it goes to Jordan Beater. But for me, it's player who, in front of your eyes, has really improved. Now, I don't know that Jordan Beater has gone a massive way from point A to point B over the course of the season. He's had a good season, but I don't think I looked at Obita in May and thought, wow, this guy's got so much better than he was in January. And a name that, Simon, I think it was you brought it up.
Yeah, I might have brought Grabner's, I think.
Yeah, for Grabner.
Particularly in the Premiership, he scored maybe a couple of goals. He didn't really do that much for the team. But after the Derby game back in, I think it was October, might be September, he's, as you say, he worked very hard for the team every week. He's popped up with about a dozen goals, so...
Yeah, he certainly had a change from what he was doing at the start of the season. We noticed this ourselves, and I said maybe you've got to thank Atkins for that, because he definitely put his arm around his shoulder and made him feel more wanted. But anything I would say about Pogba is he was one of our star signings in the Premier League.
Yeah.
He should be.
But no, but I'm just talking about, you know,
who over the course of the season has been better than he was at the start. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Any other names to throw into the mix? I mean, Chris Gunter obviously bounced back quite well.
Yeah, but Gunter was already a good Championship player. We knew that,
didn't
we? Is Michael Hector worth a mention?
Yes.
No, I don't know what he was like at the start of the season, but he went to Aberdeen, was it? And he's come back and slotted into midfield for Reading, which isn't even his position. And he's not really looked out of place. Yeah. So I think it's easier to judge next season.
The last time I saw Michael Hector play properly for Reading was in a pre-season friendly at Basingstoke, where he was part of a team that got beat 5-0. So
I suppose the other one you could talk about is Kasper's Gorks. I mean, he wasn't anywhere near the side.
Yeah.
All of a sudden he's played, 30-odd games.
Yeah, I said lots of players. I think you could
say played him well, but
you could say Danny Guthrie as well. You know, he went from a player that was very divisive to someone at the start of the season certainly was winning rave reviews. Although sadly, I think he declined again. So
yeah,
can't say most improved.
His haircut
was awful. It's not divisive. I don't think there's anybody that liked it.
He did.
Yeah, not a lot of other candidates really.
You could have had the comeback kings really, because you could have had Gorks in there.
Yeah,
Backpan, Mackenough. All these players that are really surplus to requirements at one point.
Pan bounced back quite well, didn't he?
Yeah.
Mackenough as well.
The start,
yeah.
Same with Mackenough.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So them three, like, if you had another section, who would you pick for that? Because again, Gorks, I don't like him particularly, but he's done the job for him. He's played, 30-odd games this year? He must have done easily.
Yeah, easily over 20.
Yeah.
Alex Pearce, I thought, had a very good second half of the season after a very tricky first half. Mm. You were thinking, oh, he's completely, you know, his confidence had clearly been hit by what happened last year. And up to Christmas, I mean, he got dropped, didn't he? And it was only because Morrison picked up that injury just after the Blackburn game that he was given a reprieve. Yeah. And from that point, last two or three months, I think he's up there or leading the player of the month vote at the moment.
He's second behind McCleary. But he got the most top three votes for April and May. More than McCleary.
He was frequently playing better than Sean Morrison and Kasper Skorks down the end of the season. So, you know, credit to him. He's another player that's really bounced back after a tricky spell and is showing again why he was voted player of the season 2 years ago. But again, for the criteria of improved, I don't know.
So who are we giving it to then? What's
our vote? My vote's for Pog.
Yeah, I'll go Pog Rebnek as well.
Johnny?
I'll go Pog.
Steve?
Yeah.
Clean sweep.
Simeon?
Pog
wins it.
Done.
That's going to get controversial. I know one listener in particular is not going to enjoy that. Anyway, I'm not naming names. I name names as soon as the record button hits off. Anyway, least improved player.
Oh, I'm going to mention my mate.
The
Ross Carney.
Yeah, I was going to say, he won when we did our Christmas show.
Yeah.
He took the crown. I thought he probably had a better January to May than he did August to December, but that's not saying a lot.
It's another player that annoys me though, because he's got the talent to be a good footballer, but he should, like we said all the time, he should be pushing into that side. He should be a mainstay in that position now, in that team, somewhere, at the age he is. But he still doesn't do it. That's what annoys me about him.
And when he's struggling to get into a side that in itself is struggling.
Yeah. I think sometimes when he goes up front, he does look like an option. He looks like a threat, you know what I mean? He should be able to do that every week, but he just doesn't do it.
Yeah, well, he won the header for McCleary's goal against Burnley. Coming on with the Zorro face mask.
Well, so he can do it, he just doesn't. That's what annoys me about, and that's why he's least improved, because he hasn't gone any further forward than he did last year when he was playing in the Premier League side and he scored 7-8 goals.
Oh, he looked good last season as well, didn't he? We thought this was the season where he'd really step up and go mad, go for one, and he's just actually regressed almost.
I think this one's going to sound very harsh, and I don't really mean it in terms of least improved, but I think someone that's almost proved himself not up to the calibre you need, I'm going to say Adam Lafondre. Because he was banging on last season about not getting enough starts, but when he had loads of starts this season, you know, I said he went for a 4-month spell without getting a goal. I know he popped up with a couple of important ones at the end of the season.
When he was starting last year, the Premier League wasn't scoring. It was only when he came off the bench that he got most of his goals.
So I don't think he's, I just don't think he's improved, and I think he's shown this to a lot of people that when he does start, I said he is limited. He's good at what he does. But again, he's not added anything to his game. He's not suddenly shown up and said, you know what, you can play me away from home up front and I will contribute and I will chip in with stuff. He's just not done it. Again, I mean, that's very harsh. I'm not slagging Lafondre off. I'm just saying in the context of somebody who was talking himself up. Yeah.
No, he hasn't. You're right.
That's what Adkins said, isn't it? You're out of the team because you're not contributing enough. So then he drops him. Alfie moans. Comes back into the team and hasn't really changed much other than runs around a bit more. So, I agree with you there, actually.
Anyone else?
I'd nominate Sean Morrison, just because I thought going sort of start of the season, Sean Morrison probably going to be our first choice centre-back. Certainly our best centre-back, captain as well. And then, I think obviously he's been suffering with injury over the last month or a couple of months when he's been back inside, but he hasn't looked at all the player that he was before that. He seems to
harsh. I
think it is harsh, and like I said, you know, there are mitigating circumstances, i.e. he's come straight back into the side after a long injury out.
Well, don't forget, he put him in and he was nowhere near fit. No. He was so far off the pace that he was going backwards sometimes.
No, it's just, you know, he's just getting back towards fitness towards the end of the season, but he still didn't look the same.
I agree, he's not really taking a lot of strides forward. You don't look at Morrison now and think, he's a lot better. You would have hoped after a year in the Championship that you would have got a player that's, all right, this guy's bedded in now, he's going to be ready to go. So I can see where Johnny's coming from, but again, I think the injury's got a lot to do.
He hasn't had a year in the Championship.
Yeah.
He's had, 3 months?
Yeah.
Is this a controversial one, bringing up Alex McCarthy? Now, I know he saved our skins a few times, but we were saying earlier about distribution.
The kick is still
hasn't
cool.
really improved or anything. When you think that's something he can improve.
And I think I can't remember if this was admitted by Adkins. Well, I think he said in some sort of placements interview that they were going to place less of an emphasis on getting the ball to McCarthy's feet because he was panicking, wasn't he?
Can't do it. Yeah.
You know, he was having to play short passes and he wasn't able to deal with it very well. And he had that miserable spell around February, March where he was giving goals away.
Well, he kicks at least one or two out of play.
Yeah. It's like I said, that's what might prevent him getting a move to a big club just because his distribution is so poor.
Again, I can take the point. I don't think he's, again, from the start of the season to this point, despite playing all but, 4 games and he was injured, again, I don't necessarily think...
Has he improved?
Yeah.
No, he hasn't.
Then the other difficult thing with keepers is you can't say, well, that's one that McCarthy saved that Federici wouldn't, or that Taylor wouldn't, or that Anderson wouldn't. So, yeah.
Unfortunately, it's a sale value of it.
Akpan? I know he wasn't at a high level to start with, but as he progressed...
Akpan's frustrating one, though, because you look at some games, you think, oh, he's all right, actually. He's got to grips with this level. And then you look at him and then... I remember that. Was it that Charlton game?
He got man of the match for one game in April.
Yeah. But was it the Charlton game where he just like kept passing out of play and kept trying to give the ball away in the closing 5 minutes?
I think if you notice about Graham recently, I think they've said to him, look, whoever's nearest to you, give it to him. Because he doesn't seem to be trying any worldies, does he? He just sort of, whoever gets the ball and he gives it to whoever's closest. But the reason I brought Akpan up is because Steve Coppell was saying he was surprised that he hasn't progressed further than he has when he was at Crawley. And he's had quite a few games this year. He has a decent run in the side, but he never pulls up any trees, does he? You never think, Akpan's played brilliant today. He does a job, but...
I think having a settled central midfielder would have really helped him. And it was no surprise that he had his best spell of the season when it was Danny Williams alongside him week in, week out. And I think that was January, wasn't it?
That was January, 7-1-5.
And then since then, he's had Guthrie, he's had Ledgerwood, and he's had loads of different players playing alongside him. And he's picked up an injury himself. So... Yeah, I think he's probably taken half a step forward as a footballer.
No, fair enough.
He's another one of those players, I think, last season when he came and he set up a couple of goals in his first two matches where you thought he'd really like be one of those players, and then this season he's been a bit... Yeah, he hasn't looked the same as last season, so
no.
I don't know. Injury might have played his part in time out as well, so...
Yeah, that's true.
So what are you saying?
I think I'm just going to have to stick with Robson Carney just because of how high my hopes were going into the season.
Yeah, exactly.
And how well he ended last year in the Premier League, from not to be able to replicate that in the Championships, it's just frustrating. And again, I had this rant a couple of weeks ago. There's going to come a time when you're just going to have to say, how good is Hal Robson Carney? Because is it that guy who had 3 good months in the Premier League, or is it the guy that in 4 championship seasons has...
Can't nail down a place.
Yeah. So, I'm desperately hoping, because he's going to have a big, big role to play next season. And I desperately hope he does well. But for now, I'm going to have to say Hal Robson Carney.
Yeah, I'm going to say Hal Robson Carney as well, because, like I said many, many times about him, he should be nailed down a place. And he's another player that, if he turned it around, I wouldn't be surprised, because he has got all the attributes to be a decent footballer. He just doesn't do it.
Indeed. And as I said, you know, we voted Jem Karachan our least improved player at the Rules Post Awards a couple of years ago. And
he's still thanking us for that.
He is.
Since then.
He's been injured all the time. But no, so come on, Hal, prove us wrong. Young player of the year, obviously, you know, if we've gone for a bit of a player of the year, we would go for young player of the year. But just quickly as well, I suppose you've got to have some mention. You know, we brought him up earlier, big Heck. Michael Hecht has done very well. McCarthy's obviously still young, so is Akpan.
Now, I'll be upset if Hector leaves. If Hector doesn't sign that contract, I will be quite upset, because he is he's our third choice centre back, and he hasn't looked out of place in the team. And if he goes, I almost guarantee that we'll end up regretting it at some point in the future.
Yeah. Hector can play football, and most of all, he can run, and he can run quick.
Yeah.
And them two attributes alone means you're at least a Championship footballer, if not a low-level Premier League footballer. And he has got a lot of progression to come, because he's only just stepped into that side, don't forget.
Yeah. So, mean, anyone else stood out for you from the youngsters this year?
No one else from that group, really. With Hector, particularly with Nigel Adkins' style of football, contrasting him against Gawkes, that could be a big improvement going into future seasons.
Should be difficult.
Yeah. Well, no, he seems a much more natural partner for one of Morrison or Pearce, because as good individually as both Pearce and Morrison are, and they're not an awful pair, but ideally you want to put someone who's a bit more comfortable alongside one of them.
Yeah, they're very similar footballers.
Yeah, so a quick nod as well for Jake Taylor.
Yeah, again, he's been in and around the side, and when he has come in, he hasn't looked out of place, and that's all you can really say.
Another one who's out of contract. Would you let him go?
No, if he's close enough to be on the bench now, then again, there's a lot more progression that comes from him. And again, he's not had many games in the Championship. Again, after a season, you can judge him, not after 4 or 5 matches.
It's cheaper to keep him than buy someone else.
It's worth a couple of years, yeah.
Yeah.
I think if he does stick around, next season is his big season. Next one's the one where he's got to come in and show what he's worth to the team, because otherwise he might end up off.
Yeah, he'll end up on the Scott Davies career trajectory.
Yeah.
Still living off that free kick against Chelsea.
Still talk about it.
Yeah, indeed. So, I think I'd say Obita, but Hector and I said Taylor, and I said the nice thing about it is Reading have still got a very young core. I mean, you know, we think of Morrison as an established player now, but he's still, what, 22, 23?
Yeah. I mean, his experience is very limited as well, don't forget.
McCarthy's around the same age, and, you know, Akpan's still young. So, anyway, a very good young core, and that should hopefully see them through these murky financial waters. So, okay, so we go Obita there. I'll just put that down. Best moment slash game of the season.
To look past the last one, really, but
shit.
I always hate this bit because I always go complete blank about any games I've actually seen.
Being QPR away was great.
Yeah, that was good.
And the goals as well.
Yeah, the way we did it.
7-1, 5-1. Yeah, it's got to be up there.
Yeah, not a lot you can talk about.
Beating Bolton 7-1, so satisfying.
There's not a lot you can talk about at home, is there, other than them hammering?
Yeah. So I don't think we'll see 7 goals in the Medeiros Stadium from Reading for a while.
Famous last words.
Well, I hope so, yeah. I'll be glad to have that as my famous last words.
In a slightly sort of bittersweet slash dagger in the heart way, beating Leeds 1-0 in the last minute against Graham McDermott was a little bit satisfying, but at the same time, you know, it was one of those classic Alfie last minute winners that had popped up so often in the Premier League, and then, you know, there's nothing better than a last-minute winner. So that was about the one that we did have.
Yeah, Brendan didn't have that many this year, did they, really? I mean, Pogremiak at Doncaster.
Yeah.
So it was a great, great moment to keep the playoff dream alive. But there wasn't...
Yeah, looking back, it's been pretty poor, really.
Yeah. I was going to say, the first half against Watford.
Yeah.
But again, it's kind of a bittersweet because it teased you about how good Reading could be.
Yeah.
Well, it sums up the season, really. For that half hour, 45 minutes, yeah, brilliant. But it just never had that, apart from the two games you talked about just a minute ago, never had that carry it all the way through.
No.
And that's happened all year.
Steve, are you going to say?
I was just going to say the Leeds result was a bit better because of the Leeds fans have built up that rivalry, or doing something online about stealing our players and our manager and stuff. It's especially good beating them nowadays.
Yeah, I don't think Noel Hunt nor Brian McDermott had a particularly fond year at Leeds.
No.
But yeah, I don't know. Winner for that one, I'm going to say the win at QPR.
Yeah, I think it's got to be.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you're talking a moment, then McCleary's the bang into the corner. Got to be.
Very worthy. Very worthy. Worst moment slash game of the season. Could be here a while.
Yeovil
at home.
Yeah. Barnsley at home when they looked like world beaters and then were relegated 4 games for the end of the season.
Bournemouth away was pretty bad. Wigan away. I think anybody that I feel desperately sorry for anyone who went to Middlesbrough over Christmas.
I think the worst moment for me was, as I said at the start of the show, seeing Sal Bibbo run out of the dugout and wave Alex McCarthy.
Yeah.
That was the sort of heart drop moment that really that's happened.
So the worst moment of the season, the pitch invasion. It's embarrassing moment.
I think I'm picking Barnsley at home. I think that was a dreadful performance. It made Barnsley look like Barcelona.
Can I say, do you know what? You could almost put Leeds at home in the worst game of the season because of how it impacted the season. If you thought the form we were in then, and that game cost us Karachan, Williams, and at the time a fairly informed Drenthe.
Saying that, they should have lost that game.
Pearce missed one. Yeah,
they were at right at the end, Leeds, just before we scored.
But if you talk about the injuries, for me, that and Adkins frequently, every post-match, if you notice, he's brought up that game as that moment. So that's almost the moment that Reading really slipped out of being an automatic promotion contender, because they were three big, big players. So I don't know, we slagged off Drenthe, but at the time, we really cast our minds back to August and September. He was still doing a fairly decent job. So, yeah, it's up there, but Barnsley. Pits or Yeovil?
Yeah, I'm going for Yeovil.
You're going for Yeovil.
It's got to be Yeovil.
Not beating eight men.
Eight men.
At least he got a draw, though.
Ten men for half an hour.
Tennis has cost us, though, hasn't it? That game cost us.
Well, everywhere. You can name a lot of games.
Just desserts, though.
Yeah, against eight players, that's what I'm saying. That's a game you should be winning.
For at least 10 minutes as well, because there was 10 minutes of injury time.
In fairness, a lot of Yeovil deserved to win the game at Huish Park.
Huish.
Yeah.
So, okay, so you're going for Yeovil. Steve, you're going for Yeovil. Simeon?
I've got Peterborough, actually.
Peterborough,
6-0.
Yeah.
Oh,
6-0.
I forgot about that.
Was Adrian Mariappa's final.
Yeah. From my memory.
Jimmy Kebbe refusing to play.
Yeah. Wake up,
that's bad. Yeah, I forgot about that. And Sheffield Wednesday a couple of weeks after as well.
Never hammering.
They were 5-1 down to the last minute, weren't they? Against a team who, to that point, hadn't won a game all season.
Nick Alantonio got a couple, didn't he?
I can't remember. I know he was influential.
He destroyed him, didn't he?
He destroyed left back.
Connor Wickham had a great game that day.
Probably Kelly. Yeah,
probably was Kelly, yeah. I'm sticking with Barnsley. I think, in front of your own fans, for him to sing off, "This is embarrassing," at the final whistle, I think that tells you we need to know.
Yeah.
Yeah, by the end of Yeovil, it was just sort of funny, really, wasn't it? It was,
Yeah, just for just general ineptitude, I think I'm going to have to say Barnsley, even though all of the mentions here, all of the references here have taken it, so I'm going to say, so I think we've got a tie, which I think is fair, because there are more...
Yeah, there was quite a few bad ones.
More awful. So we're going to... It's a tie between Yeovil and Barnsley with an honourable mention to Peterborough.
Yeah, very honourable mention.
Dishonourable mention to Peterborough. So, yeah. So that wraps up the awards. Anyone else? Any other awards or suggestions people want to throw into the mix before we move on?
Moving off the top of your head.
How about a frequent flyer for the player who's got most on and off the bandwagon?
Genta.
I thought that was a diving... Thinking
that's
who goes down easiest.
Genta, maybe.
Yeah, Genta or Pog.
Laura Fondra.
Yeah.
I was never on the bandwagon.
Fondra has his loyal fans, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He won't
fans.
Do anything for ages, and people will still be, "He's our best striker. Look at the goals." And like, so scored 10 goals.
There's a certain
poster
on Hobnob Anyone that I've noticed.
That's it.
There's a certain poster on Hobnob Anyone I noticed that has started popping up with his goals per minute stats.
Yeah, how many goals is
related to Adam Lafondra?
How many?
This poster knows who he is.
How many has Lafondra scored in open play this year? That's what I like to
say. I think about nine, eight, nine.
Is that great, is it?
No, and two, and I think four or five of those came in two games.
He scored more than Premier League.
I think Lafondra's had a perfectly serviceable season. I think he's had an archetypal 7 out of 10 season. And I was commenting on the thread again on Hobnob, and saying that if Reading were in a position to add two other strikers, I'd absolutely keep Lafondra.
Oh yeah.
But in the situation they're in now, when they might only be able to carry a couple of strikers, Lafondra just does enough off enough.
No.
You get a fair bob for him as well as at the moment. I think a couple of Prem teams might be interested in him. So you could get a couple of mil for him, and then you can use that on rebuilding. So
yeah. I think if anyone actually come and watch Lafondra over 5 or 6 games, I don't think any Premier League side will want to buy him.
But
I really don't.
I mean, good sides carry goal scorers. I mean, I reference Javier Hernandez at Manchester United, though never really is going to start week in week out for you. But he's brought on often to nab a goal or a game when they're, you know, trying to bully a lower place team at home, as Lafondra showed against Bolton and Blackpool. You get space and you get time from someone like McCleary to feed in the goals and it'll score. But unfortunately, those type of games, especially with a team performing as Reading were few and far between,
yeah,
and you were carrying him.
Yeah, you do carry him in match. I've said this before, he will score your goals, definitely, if you give him the service. But if you ain't getting it, then you just carry him for the rest of the match.
Anyway, we've had this argument all season long, so we'll move on from Lafondra. So that wraps up our awards. But in Pub Chat Extra, we'll keep rolling with this. Stay tuned for Pub Chat Extra. We'll have a sting and then we'll come back.
The Tarlhurst End Podcast.
Read the blog
on thetarlhurstend.com.
Right, welcome back to Pub Chat Extra. Bringing you extra, this podcast. You've probably switched off by this point, but if you're still with us, thank you.
We say this every week.
Yeah. And nobody's listening. We should try it one day, say something really like... Actually, no, let's not try to say something really libelous. Anyway.
I try it every week. It gets cut.
So much stuff ends up on the cutting room floor. Anyway, Pub Chat Extra. We thought, separate Pub Chat now to look at next season. Now, we've already talked a bit about some players looking ahead for next year. But I think we'll just very briefly go position by position. And I know that the financial situation and ownership situation is going to play a big part in who stays and who goes. We'll talk on the proviso that the finances aren't great and it's going to be Sir John.
Yeah.
Not fire. We're not going to say it's going to have to be fire sale administration, but an average Sir John Medeski summer. So we'll start with the goalkeepers. You've also got McCarthy, Federici, John Henley, Mikel Anderson and a load of academy products. Are you happy? Who can you see staying? Who's going to go for that lot?
I genuinely think that they're selling McCarthy. I think they will sell him, and if that's the only player they have to sell, then I think we've done quite well. If they can get 4 or 5 million for him, which they might do, because he's a young, progressive goalkeeper, you could get another 15, 20 years out of him yet, don't forget. I reckon if you can get rid of him for 4 or 5 million, and they don't have to sell no one else, then I think we will still have a strong side to play in a championship next year. We'll still be contenders for at least top six.
I don't think we'll have both Federici and McCarthy.
No. And if Federici ends up going back,
it's not fair to make them either.
Well, the thing is, no one's seen Federici for a year, so no one's going to, you know, particularly bid anything for him.
No, your last memories of Federici is in the Premier League when he let a load of gaff goals in, didn't he? Let's face it.
So I think, sadly, this is the time that you've got to let McCarthy go, because Federici, what, 27, 28? So he's still got a good few years out of him. He's a decent championship goalkeeper. Again, you've got Anderson, who's probably a decent enough backup. You've got a few under-18s further down the line. As sad as it is, I think McCarthy will go this summer.
If you let Federici go this summer and you keep McCarthy, we'll end up selling McCarthy and then we'll have no one left apart from Anderson or Academy product. So it probably works out better to sell.
Well, the thing is, all three of the senior keepers, if you include Anderson in that group, they're all out of contract in 2015. So you're going to have to sell, because whoever would end up being number two then would just say, I'm just leaving on a free, see you later. So they've almost got to sell one of them. And as you say, Johnny, nobody's really seen Federici. His value's never been lower, and he's apparently on decent money as well at Reading, so he's not going to be in a hurry to get out of there.
Yeah. Is he going to the World Cup, Federici?
I imagine he'll be in the squad.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's number one.
No, I don't think he's number one.
Schwartz will be number one then.
I think Schwartz has retired, hasn't he?
Yeah, I thought Schwartz was retired.
I think Schwartz retired.
Chelsea, isn't
he?
Yeah, he's been playing for Chelsea.
Champions League semi-finals. Yeah.
I think the thing is, though, with the goalkeeper, if McCarthy's sold, I mean, for Atkins' style of football, Federici suits it probably better, because Federici can play as a sweeper to a certain extent. Yeah. And even when I went to the under-21s match this week, the goalkeeper there, is his name John Henry?
Moore.
I can't remember his name, but I can't remember his name. Yeah, whoever it was who played in goal that day, he could play football as well, and he played very much as a sweeper. So that's the sort of style they're going for, and McCarthy doesn't fit that.
Even if Reading sold both, I wouldn't be too worried, because Mikel Anderson's got experience at lower levels. He's played for Denmark under 21s. He's a solid pair of hands. And I said, they've got young John Henley who's coming through as well. He's, you know, had experience up to conference level, and he's been on the bench a few times at Oxford and for Reading in the Premier League. So he's one for the future as well. So
I think if they sold both, I think they probably end up buying another goalkeeper.
You want maybe an experience.
Yeah, second choice at Premier
Get
League.
Taylor
I'd love to come and play.
Stuart Taylor. He's on a free.
There's got to be second choice goalkeepers who have not played for 2 or 3 years that love to go and play for Reading, so I wouldn't worry about it too much.
Jack Balland on loan.
Yeah, or goalkeepers. I wouldn't worry about it too much.
No. So we can see McCarthy, you can probably see going.
I think he'll be the one who sold if I have to sell.
I think they'll try and sell him to get some money in.
Yeah.
Okay. Right, moving on then to. We'll go right backs for a start. There's three of them there. Clearly too many.
I think this is the first of many situations we're going to have where we want to get rid of someone, but who's going to have them?
Could you see anyone coming in for Chris Gunter, though? Again, he's a player with only a year left on his deal. Mm. He's had a good season, just been voted second in Player of the Season.
But he didn't show it in the Premier League.
No, he's not. No one's going to buy him above us, I don't think. Unless it's someone who's just been promoted.
I mean,
he's
got the international experience for Wales. You know, he's captained us this year. He's a decent, steady right-back, but I don't think he's a Premier League right back. I think he'll be one of those players who goes to, like Jimmy Kebbe, like Mariappa. He'll go there and then he'll just sort of.
Well, he did that with Reading, didn't he?
Yeah.
Left Forest to join Reading and ended up back in the Championship in a year.
Yeah, he's just on that level where he's a great player in a Championship, but probably not good enough to play more than top 14 in the Premier League.
Yeah.
Sean, so I think we end up with him. It's still
Sean Cummins.
Keep him. Get rid of Kelly. Kelly's on the big wage and older. So.
Who's going to take him, though?
Is what I'm saying. You've got Kelly, and we'll get on to other names. Who's going to take these players?
Kelly's own mother wouldn't sign him.
In case you hadn't realised by now, Wesley doesn't have a lot of fondness for Stephen Kelly.
No, I don't see how he could be fond of him. What's he done?
I don't know why he hated him, because I think he's been a steady right back. I don't think he's pulled up any trees, but I think at Championship level, if they did sell Gunner and you had to tell me we had a season of Stephen Kelly, I'd think that's fine.
I'll stop.
He's
going
about Andy Griffin level.
Just stop going.
No, come on.
He's not a poor.
He's not Andy Gurney
right back.
Right back, is he?
Yeah, but at least Andy Gurney was rubbish and knew it and tried.
Oh, come on.
Kelly thinks he's
Kelly's
better.
Kelly's an
he
Ireland. He's still getting in the Ireland squad.
Oh, that didn't say much, does it?
No, come on. Okay.
I don't rate him.
So, in an ideal world, then we sell Kelly and we've got Cummins as a backup to Gunter.
Yeah, that'd do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Centre backs then. You've got Pearce, Morrison, and Hector at the moment.
If we lose any of them, we're in trouble.
Yeah, and Hector's even not inked down to stay. You've got Pearce Sweeney as well coming through, I suppose.
Yeah, but if you've seen Pierce Sweeney, I've sat and watched him twice now, and he reminds me of Alex Pearce. He's exactly the same player. He is. He even runs like him. He is exactly the same player.
Yeah, but Alex Pearce has been a very decent player at Championship level.
Yeah, but then you've got three Alex Pearces there. You've got Morrison, the real Alex Pearce.
We all dream of a team of Alex Pearces.
You know what I'm saying? You will have three players that are exactly the same.
The number one was... Anyway, so, I take your point.
I mean, they tried to sign Hobbs, didn't they, earlier in the season when we didn't have any money. So there might be a little bit of scope there, especially if McCarthy gets moved on. They might say to, well, here's a million, you can get yourself a centre-back. And I think he will try and buy a centre-back that can play for
them. So, I mean, is it an error for you they need to strengthen?
I think certainly with the experience problem, now that Gork's gone, it should be quite easy to get someone on loan or on a free from the Premiership relatively cheaply. But
they've got to find someone that can play football. A footballing centre back. Yeah, hopefully it is, but they, other than that, you need someone who's got a bit of pace. Because you've got Morrison, you've got Pearce, you've got Hector, you need one more player to play centre back.
So we're saying they need one more, and then keep the other three?
Yeah, you keep the other three, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Cool, right, let's move on to central midfielders then.
Hang on, left back. We're avoiding left backs.
We haven't got, literally, we haven't.
There's another player needs to sign them.
Well, they need to sign at least one left back.
That's our most worrying position, really. Because Obito won't want to play there all season.
Yeah.
We haven't got any, apart from like Griffin, who I mentioned earlier, and other than that, we've got no one. So
Owusu, see the under 21.
Basically, there's nobody that's going to come into Championship.
Tell you what, Royce and Drent used to be there from Real Madrid.
I wish.
Yeah, it's because we can get any further back.
Yeah, I really found that. Yeah, fancy Royce and Drent chasing a marauding right winger.
It's not going to happen.
No, exactly. Yeah, so you obviously need time one. Preferably two, really. Ideally, you want the situation you had a couple of years ago where you had the experienced man Ian Hart in, and then you had the backup in Joe Mills. So, yeah, they're obviously going to have to go out and buy someone there. Again, if it ends up with Jordan Beattie there for 46 games, I don't think anybody's going to complain.
No.
But ideally, he might, but you want to use him further forward. So, yeah, left back. Centre midfielders then. Got Hope Akpan, Danny Williams, Danny Guthrie, and Cem Karacan. Plus,
I mean, them three. If you've got
plus maybe Jake Taylor.
If you've got Guthrie, Williams, and Karacan, and they're fit for 90% of the season,
it's one of the best midfields in the Championship.
There's very few midfields that you put above them from any other side, I think, personally.
Yeah,
there might be one or two, but it's not a lot. You know what I mean? So as a trio, they've all got something different about as well. Guthrie's more of the footballer. Williams, like I said, is more box to box, and Karacan will do the dirty work. And I think we've missed that this year because no one's been in midfield doing the dirty work. Whereas if Karacan's fit, you know he will run his heart out for you. I think that'll make a hell of a difference to the whole side.
Johnny, would you keep all three, or are you tempted to try and get a big wage like Guthrie off the books?
It's whether Guthrie wants to go as well. He might want him.
I can't imagine he's got any great affinity for this
one. You know, who would want Guthrie? What? I don't think a lower Premier League team would take a punt on him. I don't think another Championship team would take a punt on him or be able to pay the wages.
No.
I reckon keep all four and just see what happens, to be honest.
Yeah, Steve?
My main issue is, if Guthrie's not in the team, then we lose a passer. None of the other midfielders are as comfortable as Guthrie.
True.
If we lose him, then we lose that balance, and then we go back to 4-4-2, two ball winners and pass the wings again, which isn't what Adkins actually wants to do, but he's been forced into it this season by injuries and stuff.
Yeah, I think he's always wanted to build the side around Guthrie, to be honest, but has never had the opportunity.
Yeah.
Well, you look at the under-21s and the under-18s and you sort of see Aaron Cool in the Danny Guthrie role.
His name that comes up a lot.
Yeah. We can talk about Aaron Cool. I don't think we'll see him next year. I think he'll go out on loan. I mean, that's the rate of production line, to be honest.
Shimoda, he's been in and around the team.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'd say that hopefully they manage to get Jake Taylor to win the year because he showed that he's got a bit more guile in that midfield. He's not quite a, you know, destroyer like Akpan. But speaking of destroyers, though, do they need a tough tackling guy? Do they need another Ledgerwood type player to come in and nick balls and move the player on? Or is someone at Pan going to be able to, when you're trying to gut out a result away from home, you're happy bringing on Hope Akpan to shore things up?
I think Michael Hector can do a job there as well.
Yeah.
If he stays on, of course.
Very true.
But, you know, he's been doing it this season, so.
Yeah, he can sweep, he can play that middle sort of role, can't he? Just be on midfield, front of defenders. Yeah, I think we've got good options as long as everyone stays fit, which hasn't happened this year.
Cem Karacan's the key for me. It's how he comes back from his injury because he was looking so good before he got injured. And if he comes back.
Well, you know, Karacan, he'll come back, he'll go hell for leather for 10 games, he'll probably get injured again.
just rest him against Leeds.
Yeah.
Just don't play him against Leeds.
Johnny?
Yeah.
Daniel Caruso. Or has he definitely gone to Sevilla?
He's going.
Oh, I think it's all but done deal.
He won't come.
He's going to play a new
game.
From a Europa League final to a League Cup first round tie away at
Burton.
That was such a shame he left as well. I thought he'd have been brilliant in the Championship from what I see at the back end of the Premier League. He was a Championship player in the waiting, really, because he would mix
at
it.
Least Reading will get a fee, presumably. Yes. So that'll, and it, obviously I'd imagine he was on decent wages, so wish him well. If he ends up back at Reading, obviously fantastic, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Can't see that.
So that's centre midfield. Let's move on to the wings then. We'll just throw them all into the same mix. So you've got McCleary, Jordan Ibiza, Hal Robson-Kanu. Do you want to count Nick Blackman? Or do we? No, we're counting him in the forwards. So got those three, but suddenly from position Royston.
Oh yeah.
Lest we forget.
How could we? So you got those four. You'd imagine that should they both stay, it'll be McCleary and Ibiza, or Canoe starting week in, week out. But can you see McCleary going?
Yeah, I could. I could see someone buying him. Definitely. Especially one of the teams to get
would
promoted.
You cash in?
I wouldn't want it because I don't think they'd be able to replace him.
No. I think a team like Crystal Palace would be the kind of team that would go for him because he's got an end product and he's really quick, and I think Pulis can do a, you know, could use him rather than Kebe.
Or Leicester, something like that.
I was going to say, you say Palace and then you say Kebe.
How much do you think he'd be worth? How much could you get for him?
3 mil.
Yeah, I reckon around about that. You've got to be asking there at least.
He's only got, I think he's only got a year left on his deal.
Yeah, but even so, if you come in at the end of the season, and Reading say, well, we ain't selling them, then they will say, well, we'll give you 3 million. Yeah.
And the other thing is,
3 million, nothing now to a Premier League side. It's
think how much you get for staying up, think how much you get for being in the top league. Three million's peanuts at the end of the season.
But again, would you sell for that? Would you hold out for more?
I'd sell for 3 million.
It's not whether we would sell for it, it's whether Reading will say, yeah, you're
going.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And they will.
It's whether Medeiros says how much?
Yeah, gone. Yeah.
Well, again, if he goes, then you're left with Reading having three wingers. Plus, obviously, you know, we talk about these academy players, and it's not really fair to say plug them in because we haven't really seen them. But then I would leave him a bit light, especially when one of them is Royston Drenthe.
Yeah. Like I said, I sat and watched the academy, and I just don't see anyone that I thought personally was ready to step up into the first team. It was the pace of the game was so much different, you wouldn't believe. It was so much slower. And to step up and play in championship football is it's a different world to him.
So do you think Reading needs to go out and buy a winger?
Although
to be fair, with the academy thing, Ibiza came in from the wilderness, really. Like, no one expected him to break in.
But, I mean, as Johnny said, though,
Jordan had been
out playing on loan. I mean, none of these guys in the academy, and I was talking off air about the loan situation this season, and there's nobody that's been out on loan that is thinking, you've got to get this guy straight into the team. I mean, running through him, Anderson can't get in for a team in Denmark. Nick Arnold struggled at Wickham, who've been fighting a relegation battle in League 2. Wilson Diaz done okay, but again, he's playing League 2 football.
Even Henderson didn't play every week.
Yeah, Dom Samuel was one that I think could come into the conversation when we talk about forwards, but he had an injury that sort of kept him out for most of the season as well. So, and they're the only ones that really played at sort of league level. So there's nobody that's coming in. I think we're going to have to go out and buy one.
Unless they get a left back, then you've got...
Yeah, but even when Ibiza there, then you've... I said
four.
Would Joe be gone?
You've still got four.
Four, and Blackman, who can fill in.
Yeah, okay.
So if they bought a left back, you ain't got a problem.
But they bought my left back.
Then maybe you're out.
So again, though, then in that case, you're considering Royston Drenthe to use him, then?
He's not going to get sold. No one's going to buy him.
Yeah. You've got to include him in the squad.
You have to go and greet out Ethan Merritt and see what he can do.
Well, so fingers crossed he turns it around. But okay, then getting into the last section, you've got forwards. So you have Nick Blackman, Adam Lafondre, and Pavel Pogrebniak.
Yeah, it's clear.
At the moment, and that's it.
It's clearly not good enough, is it? They ain't scored enough goals this year, so how do you expect to do it next year?
I think Pav is fine at this level. Again, if you can sell him, though, great, because his wages are astronomical. And he's not, for his wages, as good as I think he's been, and I've praised him throughout this show, he's not earning his wage, so to speak, is he?
No, he should be pulling up trees in this division, really, for the pedigree he came with. I think Pogrebniak needs someone who's got genuine pace around him, that you can play, I've said all season, the ball you can play over the top and know that someone will get on the end of it. We haven't got that, and that's why teams push up on us at home, and they stifle us from playing, because they know there's no ball over the top unless it's going to McCleary. So they need someone who's quick up front, but quick players cost money, and, where are you going to get the money from?
I really hope Dom Samuel can make that step up, at least get on the bench, get a few more games. So it's really a shame because he went out on loan and he got injured, I think, in his first game. Or second game there, so that's put his development back a bit, but he could be that player.
It's just a shame Reading can't go out and get one of these players that have scored a lot of goals this year in the Champs, like the Grabhams or your Jordan Rose, but it's going to be out of their reach.
Even a Billy Sharp, even a Billy Sharp for me offers more.
He does offer more, but he's the same sort of player. He's not, can't give that ball over the top.
Especially if Naki Wells, who went to Huddersfield,
that would have been brilliant.
Yeah, just pace. They need someone who's quick up front. I think Ogbu would be a much better player.
Great name. Yeah. He's worth mentioning. People are pinning hopes on him and Samuel. I don't know if either of them are ready yet, but I think it might come to we have no other options.
Again,
so.
I watched him. I thought, I hate strikers that are lazy. I hate players that are up front that don't defend from the front. And what I see from him, he just wasn't prepared to run unless the ball's going forward.
Yeah, and he's a young player that's had a lot of injury problems, and he has spent a lot of time out on loan. I think he's been at Plymouth, he's been at a couple of other clubs, particularly last season, and again, really wasn't pulling up trees. No. And he's getting to, I think he's either 20, he must be 21 now.
Yeah,
21,
yeah.
Sammy was 20, I think.
Sammy, he should be doing it
exactly
now, shouldn't he?
So, I mean, maybe.
Now, he's not going to do it.
Again, I mean, players can take a massive step forward over a summer, you just don't know, but maybe. But so we're saying striker is a priority area then.
What about left back?
Yeah. What about Nick Blackman then? A player that certainly divides opinion.
I like Nick Blackman. I think he's got something about him. He's just, for some reason, it's been a strange season for him, because you think back to the start of the season, Atkins said he wanted to play him up top first game of the season.
Yeah.
You come to the end of the season, Atkins isn't even putting him on the bench. So whether it's something that's been said or whether it's something that he's just not doing it in training, whether he doesn't fit the system, I don't know what it is. But I do think he does have a part to play in the side, because he's got a bit of pace and he's got that confidence that he will have a go. I think he's got something to offer. I would hope that he'll be our most improved player next season.
So me, would you be tempted just to stick Nick Blackman in again, put your arm around his shoulder and give him 5-10 games at the start of the season, say, show us what you can do?
I would. I thought he looked pretty good around the turn of the new year. That game against, I think it was Forest at home, he looked quite good down the left, and he scored a good goal against Bolton in the 7-1 win. He's clearly got talent, so might as well use him when we're short on strikers and wingers. So.
I think he's a victim of his transfer fee, isn't he? It was about $2 million.
No, it's certainly over one.
Yeah.
I think it's about 1.1 or 1.2, yeah.
I heard $2 million, but whatever it was, he's still not lived up to that price tag. And the longer it goes on, the more fans are going to get on his back. So let's do it.
I think he's worth a try, like you said, for 5 or 6 games up front. If you're going to play 2 up front, then play him with Pogba now and see how he gets on. Because he, like you said there, he's certainly got the attributes, again, to be a decent footman, and in the league below he was scoring goals, and he did, but don't keep playing on the wing. I don't think that's his position. Let him have a run up front and see what he can do. He can only put his own nails in his own coffin, and if he can't do it, he can't do it. But I think he probably could.
Yeah, well, that but just about rounds up then our look ahead to next season. With all that in mind, a couple of quick questions then before we go. Captain, obviously Jeremy McAdoo's left the club. Who would you give the armband to? Sean Morrison was vice captain last season. Do you give him the armband or do you give it to someone else?
Do you know what I give it to? Just in a bit of a left turn and say, look, you're going to be my future captain for a little while now. Give it to Jim Carragher. No, give it to Carragher. Because I think he is a perfect captain material, because he will sweat blood to make sure he wins games. And I think that rubs off on other players then.
Johnny, any ideas?
I'd give it to Pierce. I think he's learnt his lesson from last year. I think last year not giving him a captaincy at any point was almost teaching him a lesson for the whole contract saga which went on. I'm hoping that Atkins will sort of get to the end of the season and say, right, that's behind us, let's move forward, making you the captain, because in a similar mold to Carragher, he is that Reading homebred,
homegrown.
He is the mold of a captain, and out of the two centre backs, Pierce and Morrison, Pierce is always the one directing the line, getting everyone in position.
But bearing in mind what we said earlier though, and it's clear that Atkins likes Morrison, is Pierce going to start every week? That would be my, because I would like to see Pierce, but I don't think he's going to start every week next season.
I think if Atkins gets any sort of money, I think he will buy a centre back to come play football, because if you haven't got that, you can't use his football, what he's going to do. He can't do it. You need that Dovcek player, that can put his foot on the ball and direct the play.
Yeah.
And I think Pearce might be the full guy for that because he's been a full guy in the past.
Steve, any other suggestions for
you? I'd say Gunter. Played like almost every game, consistent, not...
Got the armband, you know, once a season, didn't he?
Got the armband, yeah.
So everyone had it.
He's not done anything wrong, not done anything amazing, but he's a solid left back who plays every game, so... Yeah.
Simeon?
I've got to say Pearce, he is a real leader and he does put his body on the line for the club, so...
Yeah.
I think he's a natural choice.
I'll be perfectly happy with Pearce. I like Karachan as an idea. Again, I don't know how long he'd be a Reading player, though. He's only got a year left. I can see it going to Morrison. I think it would be slightly odd now for Adkins to turn around and say, I know I gave you the armband a lot last year.
You stripped of it, yeah.
Yeah. I think it's going to be Morrison. But
it's tricky because, again, we don't know what's going to happen, do we? And I suppose if he was to have Karajan as your captain, that's saying he's playing every week. And if you're playing 4-4-2, would he play over Guthrie and Williams?
Yeah.
It all depends who you're playing, I guess. So, I don't know.
I think he'll back Morrison. He's got the longest contract, I think, of anyone left at the club.
He's got the choice then.
Exactly. So, again, yeah. And just leads me to say, how do you think next season's going to go? Obviously, this is a stupidly early point to say. We have no idea who's going to be sold. But just your gut feeling, what are we going to be sitting here talking about in 12 months' time? Are we going to be sitting here thinking about Premier League football, League One football, or more Championship football?
Sat as we are, with the team we've got left today, less the five players already gone, if everyone stays relatively fit, that side can still compete quite highly in that division for one more season. So I'm saying, with the team we've got today, there's still potential playoff places, definitely.
Johnny?
I think we're going to be talking about the Thames Valley Royals, established 2015, entering into the conference. Now I reckon about the same as this. As Wesley said, you look at how close we got this year, despite us pushing it away from us at every opportunity. Yeah.
And having a lot of injuries and having no owner.
Yeah.
You know, if Bridge and Roberts and players like that would have played all season, then we'd have been talking about a different year, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And Karajan and Guthrie and all these other players that was in and out of side of Morrison.
I think this goes on. I hope one of those situations doesn't get worse in terms of the ownership and the money, but the other situations can only get better in terms of injuries and we talked Adkins tactics. You know, I think another year on the training ground, that's going to help them. I certainly think we'll be there or thereabouts, yeah. as we have been for the last, 15 years?
It's never
been 10 years.
Simeon, any thoughts? I think a finish similar to how we've had it this season, but maybe a better end to the season, a charge up the table at the end of the season, but a similar finish in terms of where we finish in the table would look a lot better.
Yeah.
It's more about the style of football we have on the pitch and how much progress there is there.
Even with the ownership situation the way it is and the likelihood that we're going to sell players, the squad is still deep enough for me that I can't see being in a relegation battle.
Oh, no, really.
I think I could certainly see a scenario where they end up mid to lower mid table if they lost players and then got some injuries on top of it.
Yeah,
but
depending. Yeah.
Like you said, there's enough talent in this side, and if you did have players like Guthrie, Williams, especially that central midfield, because that's been the big area all season, hasn't it?
Yeah.
And you
need your core.
It's your engine room.
You need your core of that team. You need a centre to be strong all season. You can feel wings, you can feel left back, you can feel right back, but you can't feel the middle of the pitch. And Reading about to fill that middle of the pitch all season.
And there's something that was pointed out about Man City. You look at their spine of their team, you think Hart, Kompany, Yaya Toure and Aguero. I think they've only played together for about 6 games this season, but they won all 6.
Yeah.
And they won all 6 in a decent way. And that tells you that the spine of your team, if you can keep it consistent, you've got your best players available, that's absolutely intrinsic.
So, you know, if Reading trotted out a team that we've mentioned about with the players that we think might, even if they did lose McCleary and Lafondra and McCarthy and someone like that, he would have Gunter. They've still got the ability. And they will bring in players. I don't know what quality they're going to be. But you'd like to think now that Nigel Adkins has probably been, for the last 6 months, knowing, I'm actually going to have to shop on the cheap here. I'm going to be keeping an eye out. Because I think, in the summer, he was probably shopping at Waitrose. Now, since Christmas, he's known he's going to be shopping at
Lidl.
I'd say the 6 p.m.
But that's the advantage he's got, because all the players he would have been scouting over the summer would have been in a price range out of Reading's reach.
Yeah.
Now at least he'll know what the situation is.
Does he?
Well, he knows he's not going to have a lot of money.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what happens now, he's not going to have a lot of money. So he knows he's going to have to be shopping free transfers or lower punts like we took with Doyle and Long type players. So a couple of players like that.
There's players to be had, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's free transfers to be got from somewhere.
Even Burnley. Burnley didn't have any money to rub together. They signed Sam Vokes. Well, they didn't sign Sam Vokes, but Sam Vokes turned into a 20-goal striker out of nowhere.
Exactly. In the Championship, you can do that. So just step it down.
I think Reading have certainly got the ability to challenge for a playoff place. And I'll have my optimistic hat on and say that'll be that. Right, so that just about wraps up our look ahead to next season. But in the meantime, you guys have continued sending in your thoughts and feedback. So let's get some of those now with your tweets and emails.
Get social with the boys.
Find them on Twitter
at The Tarlhurst End
and facebook.com/The Tarlhurst End.
Right, thanks very much for sending in your tweets and emails. So you've just heard some of the contact details there, but you can go to at The Tarlhurst End for your Twitter. It's facebook.com/The Tarlhurst End. And the email address is thetarlhurstend@gmail.com. Let's start then with George Sharman. He says, with the clear out started next season, do we look for new players with championship experience on a tight budget? We put faith in a very promising youth setup. Is this dependent on whether we get a new owner? Well, I think it's obviously, yes. Yeah, very dependent on whether we get a new owner. What would you do though? If you have a choice between a 28, 29 year old championship veteran or a youngster, what do? If you sort of, if it's a 50-50 call?
I'd go for the youngster, purely because you guys would have thought we could get in the playoffs or something next season, but I'm not convinced we can. I think there's too much upheaval. So I think if you put a youngster in, then, you know, we stay mid-table or whatever, but then he's got that extra year's experience, and then the year after, we'll see what happens.
Ideally, you'd like to get a striker who knows goals and a left-back who's got some experience at this level.
You'd like to get a striker who, you know, can score goals in the Championship, definitely, if you're going to go out and buy a striker. But again, it costs a lot of money. I mean, like Jordan Rhodes goes for $7 million, he ends up in the Championship. You know, good strikers cost money no matter what league you're in.
And we don't have a lot of it.
And we ain't got it.
Ben
Dixon
goes for $5.5 million to Stoke, and where he is, writing books.
Right, Mark Sugar says, can we take anything positive out of this season for the first team? Join a beater.
I'd like to be on a positive. I think
if you look at the end of the season and the results we got at the end of the season and the way we played at the end of the season, you can take positives. And you can take positive halves and positive moments from games. What you want is them to do it for 46 games rather than 45 minutes here. I mean, you think, I can't remember what game it was in, but there was one shot which we worked to Pog, and McCleary and Gunter and Pog all worked down the right hand side. It was like, it was magic. It was something you'd see from Barcelona. That was 5 seconds. You want that not necessarily spread over 46 games of a season, but certainly more than once in 46 games.
Yeah.
There are positive moments to take out.
Terry Tibbs says, do you think it was a good or a bad idea releasing JB legend Gawkes? And I think we've covered that. So go listen to the early bit of the show. Brian Davis, the worst pitch invasion ever.
Yeah.
Shambles. The club hardly helps by not announcing anything either. Loads around me all knew it was already 2-1 to Brighton at full time, so not sure where the rumours and cheers came from. And again, I think we've voiced our displeasure at that.
Yeah.
Although it's mentioned that while we're recording this, Brighton are losing, aren't they, Johnny?
They are, 2-1.
So, fingers crossed that stays the same. I've admitted, I think this was Matt sent this one in. You guys got any thoughts on this non-EU FA thing that's come out in the report today? It would affect Frjonsson, Novakovic, Gojic, Edwards, etc. I think this is whole idea of not allowing, of only having two non-EU players in the squads and basically just restricting non-EU players in your squads and things. Are you generally for it?
I don't. I just want to see the best players. I don't buy all this. English players don't progress because of this and that. They don't progress because they ain't good enough. Simple as that. So
they don't work hard enough.
I think the ironic thing is we're seeing a sort of a new golden generation, if you like. You look at Barkley, you look at Stones, you look at Sterling, Shaw.
Yep.
You know, I mean, this is almost the FA doing something about it, just as it's actually getting better. And there's a lot of players. I mean, Sturridge is still quite young and he's come through youth system, although then he moved to a new club, then a new club. I think it's just about getting to that stage where clubs are sort of realising, okay, the financial boom where we just bought in talent from other countries is over. Let's do something about building our own now. You've got Southampton who do it really well. You've got Liverpool who have brought through youngsters as well. Flanagan.
Yeah, cream rises to the top, simple as that. If you're good enough, you'll get there. If you're not good enough, then you won't.
And it's like we say with the Reading side, you're not going to get every single one of that under-21 side.
playing for Reading in 5 years?
Maybe two.
Yeah, two, maybe three.
Steve, any quick thoughts on plans for a B teams, a new fifth tier?
Why? I don't see what it's going to do. If anything, it will just make the big clubs bigger and the like lower league teams, which we used to be. I know we're still Championship, but we used to be even lower down. It would mean that we could like never have got to where we are now by having B teams around, like hammering us and stealing our talent. I don't really...
It's funny, because when I see Reading play Man City in the Under-21 Cup the other week, I said it to mate who sat next to me, I said, you will see none of these Man City players play for Man City. None of them.
No,
not one
even
of them.
In a B team they wouldn't do it.
They didn't look good enough either. So if they ain't good enough, even a B team, they still ain't good enough. So, right, some of them might filter down to lower leagues. And then if they progress after that, they'll come back. But if ain't good enough, then tough luck. You know what I mean? There's no time for sentiment. If you're good enough, you'll make it. If you're not, then you won't.
Yeah, that's...
I think the other ironic thing is, if you asked a general football fan in England what they cared about most, the England team or their club, they'd probably say their club.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're almost cutting off your nose to spite your face here. The FA's saying, well, let's make England football better.
And you
an English football fan doesn't care.
And I'm sorry, but you just feel sorry for, like, the 1,500 or so fans from, you know, might support a Woking or, you know... I don't usually feel sorry for all the shop fans, but people like that who are suddenly seeing, you know... I know that the BTs wouldn't be allowed up so many runs, but they're apparently going to be allowed up as far as League One. And if you're Aldershot and you're missing out on promotion because Man City have...
Yeah, it's wrong.
It's wrong for me. I don't know why. I don't know why they scrapped the Reserve League. I don't understand what's wrong with the Reserve League.
Yeah,
surely
that's a much better idea.
That does... You know, why don't... If clubs got these big squads, they should let their better players play in these Reserve Leagues. The problem was is that none of the... Stan Collymore was making a good point. I know, again, a rare thing.
Yeah,
but Stan was saying that... You know, apparently when a lot of foreign players came into this country originally, sort of 20 years ago, when the big influx of foreigners came, they weren't used to playing reserve because there was no such thing as reserve teams like Serie A or whatever. Yeah, they had B teams, but so they wouldn't, you know, turn up and play on a Tuesday night. It should just be a case of you're not playing in the first team, you're playing in the reserve team, going out with the kids.
You're getting paid, yeah. Not only that, it'd be better for the younger players to play with these established professionals, even if they're playing at 75%. At least they'll learn a lot more from that.
Rather than being in a B team, where basically you're playing... Because realistically, you're still just going to be playing alongside a load of under-21s. You're not going to have the experience of a 30-odd-year-old guy in the dressing room helping you along. Whereas if you go to a Wimbledon or whatever, you've got players that have... maybe been to the top and fallen down, or...
I mean, look at me when I was younger, Wim, and it was when Tony Adams just come out of prison, and he played for Arsenal reserves, probably 10, 11 games before he went back into the first team. He played down at Reading, and the younger players played against Tony Adams, who was England captain, you know what I mean? It's got to be better for you to play against some no-name that isn't ever going to make it.
Yeah, well, as I said, obviously these are only just come out today, they're all proposals, so they're always to be taken with a pinch of salt at this moment, but initial reaction is...
Nonsense.
Yeah, a little bit. Anyway, and finally on the tweet front from Christopher Lash, says, with the departure of Joby, who's your favourite ever Reading captain and why?
Murty.
Murty for you?
Yeah.
I'm going to say Aidy Williams.
Again.
Loved Aidy.
I like Parky.
Parky was good as well.
The old sprint towards the East End when you come out of the tunnel.
I just think Murty and Parkinson... Yeah, I wasn't ever a big fan of Parkinson the footballer, but Murty, because what Murty done as captain is he had proper drive and he would lead the team by example, and I don't think McInniff's always done that.
I'm surprised none of you guys have voted Matt Mills. Shocked.
No.
Anyway, thanks for that, Chris. We've had a contribution via Facebook from Mark Mayo, the only assistant editor who's not present.
Tut-tut.
Indeed.
Poor effort.
He is in Cardiff. But even so, it's only 2 hours away. Anyway, he says, jealous of not joining you guys tonight. Have to miss this one for degree-based revision here in Wales. My question is, what's the biggest Reading moment you've missed? I seem to miss all the big ones. I missed the first ever game at the Medeski because I was on holiday. And I also missed the first ever Premier League game against Middlesbrough because I was up in Lancaster, miles away.
I don't think I've ever missed anything since I've been going.
Haven't missed a single game moment.
No, I've missed massive moments. No, little poxy moments. Yeah, loads of them. No big.
Tranmere away.
I was at Tranmere away 3-1. Yeah, I was at that one. At the real rocky stand. That was brilliant. Running play, excellent.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I was at that one as well. Yeah, so no.
Johnny.
No
big moments for you.
No, I've been to all the sort of promotion ones. Brentford away, Leicester away, Southampton, West Ham away 2 years ago. all the home ones, obviously, you know.
Look at you two with your...
No, but I didn't go... I'll be honest with you, I didn't go to Brentford away, but they showed it on a big screen at the Dayton, and I was there, and it was probably one of the best days I ever had.
Invaded the pitch.
Because I got a lift home in the bus as well that day, on the coach, and I got to players' party that day, some fluke.
Nice.
And I robbed the coach, if I'm honest, and nicked the jacket as well.
God, step to your limitations is probably see you right now, 12 years ago.
Yeah,
Steve?
I missed both promotions. It still hurts, both those promotion games.
Simeon?
Missed Leicester and Southampton, actually. I was stuck in an airport for Southampton, which was one of the best of places to be.
There's some moments I wish I'd missed.
Yeah, I did. I wish I'd missed losing home to Chesterfield, Grimsby.
Yeah.
Bristol Rovers.
Yeah. A 1-0. I wish I'd missed a 1-0 win over Welling in the FA Cup once.
It's one of those questions to send out to listeners. They can let us know what they missed.
Yeah.
Possibly where they were, if it's a funny sort of anecdote.
Please do. TylerSend@gmail.com. And finally, we have an email. It's a rather long one, so bear with me. From Nick Beckett.
A love story.
Yeah. In fact,
chapter one.
I'm going to miss the first bit, because he's basically, it says, it's been well documented, but failure to get into playoffs was not Dan Saturday's game, but a result of the performances over the entire season. Like thousands of others, I felt too much disappointment to stay on to and appreciate the team during their lap of honour, whatever it was. I don't really blame the players for how they performed this season, and I certainly don't blame Nigel, the coaching staff, or Sir John. I'm sure Sir John never anticipated the nightmare scenario when he sold the club in good faith 2 years ago. It remains to be seen whether Nigel will stay. He must feel let down in a seriously big way after the commitments that were given to him when he joined. And he's gone on with a lot of good points, but given how much time we spent on this show, I'm sure he'll understand. We're not going to read it all. But I just thought that paragraph was particularly interesting, and just a little bit in the end about Nigel Adkins staying. Do you think he might be tempted to walk away?
I don't think he'll walk. I think if he gets an offer from someone, he'll probably go, because you know,
what's the point in staying?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, you know, he might see something in the youth academy, and he might see something in the players he's got at the moment. But to be quite honest, if the situation is as bleak as we think it is from the outside, whether you're a pessimist or an optimist, I think he'll walk. I think he'll take another job, and I think Reading would let him because they get a bit of money.
Yeah, again, I think you're probably right there. He was sold a lie, really, let's face it. He was probably told a lie. Well, exactly, he was sold a lie. And I mean, people had a go at him. I've heard lots of people say that it's not good enough. But in the day, the amount of injuries he had and the way the club's been run, and when January came, he couldn't sign anyone, and he clearly wanted to. Even if it had just been keeping Baird here for the rest of the season, certainly would have helped, yeah. And that never happened, and this is why we've missed out, and we all know that, and you can't really blame the manager, because I think, again, too many people have let him down.
Indeed, as I said, if he does get a big job offer and the Premier League team wants him, he'd go my best wishes. So
yeah, I'm not sure they will, that's the only thing. I think we'll be stuck with him. Well, not stuck with him, but I think he'll stay, just because I don't see what could be better for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's in a no-lose situation at the moment, isn't he? He sticks around and does well, or even does well. Great credit, reputation gets increased.
Yeah.
Does badly, it's not his fault, it's the circumstances he's in. So yeah, there's no point in walking.
No. Okay, well, that just about wraps up your feedback. Thanks very much for sending that in. As I said, thetylersend@gmail.com is your email address. facebook.com/thetylersend for Facebook, and Twitter is @thetylersend. And we've also got threads over on Hobnob Anyone, and also on the Raw's Rendezvous. So please keep getting in touch over the summer. We'll mention our summer podcast plans in just a moment. But yeah, keep sending them in. And especially on Twitter, if you use the hashtag TTEPodcast, it'll help me keep track of them over the next few weeks. So that'll be appreciated. But as mentioned, let's move on to any other business.
The Tylehurst End Podcast. Any other business.
Right, welcome back to Any Other Business. We are in the final stretch of this rather epic podcast, and if you've stayed with us this long, thank you very much, very much appreciated. Not a lot to say, really, just a couple of little bits of housekeeping. First of all, on the website at the moment, a few votes going on. First one's for Goal of the Season, put together by Clyde. Go vote for that. As we discussed, it's probably going to be a Gareth McCleary goal, but which one, you decide. So please vote on that. And we've also got our April/May Player of the Month, where I think Alex Pearce and Gareth McCleary are leading the way, and I think Jordan Abita, and is it Chris Gunter who's the other nominee, Johnny?
It's Abita, McCleary, Pearce, and it might be Gunter, I can't remember.
So go vote.
Someone else.
Head over to talisman.com to vote for that one. There's plenty of other fantastic content going up on the website as well. I know I'm biased, but it really is some fantastic work going in there.
It's Williams. It's not Gunter, it's Williams.
Fair enough. New features started, Medeski moments. First one went up, recalling the epic win over Crystal Palace, that 3-2 win with Lita.
Oh yeah,
the overhead kick.
That was very good.
So check those out. They'll be up over the summer. As mentioned, John Keane's piece on John Medeski and the choices facing him are up there. We didn't really mention the ownership in this, and there's nothing really to say, is there?
No.
Nope.
No. We'll leave it at that.
New countries are added every week.
indeed. And as soon as there's change with ownership, we'll report it. But yeah, so plenty of content up on the website. In terms of this podcast, the general idea at the moment is going to take a bit of a break. We'll probably come back in about 3 to 4 weeks' time. It depends on what news. If Reading go and announce a raft of signings, or there's a big development with the ownership or something, we'll come back. Otherwise, we'll sort of come back, you know, early to mid-June, sort of start looking ahead to the new season and recapping the news. But it won't be weekly, unfortunately. I know that's going to disappoint everybody out there.
There's no need.
No. There will be a Tyler Sent Extra podcast. Obviously, Charles Watts unfortunately can't join us tonight. He sends his apologies. Me and him will sit down to do a podcast that will go up on the Get Reading website and on our website as well, just getting his sort of final thoughts on the season and some of the latest news he's picked up on contract developments and bits and pieces. So stay tuned for that. That'll be up on the website. But all that's left to say is thank you very much for listening this season. As I said, we've got to 32 podcasts.
Wow, that's a good effort.
It's a good effort over you know, less than a year. I think obviously we've missed a couple of weeks and the publishing sometimes been a bit erratic. But we're there.
It's good.
And this lineup's going to stay together. Obviously, Stephen Simeon, you failed your auditions, so no. Hopefully, get you two gents back on at some point this season. We'll obviously have a Christmas show again, hopefully down the pub. Christmas sing along.
Looking ahead there, aren't we? At Christmas already.
Hey, there's only so many weeks to go.
Can I put an anti-post bet on how Robson Kanu, least improved player of the season?
Most improved player by then,
least.
20 goals this season.
No, we'll try and get to this more often. It's been good recording in the pub. If this comes out in the edit and you can't hear any of us, then you might disagree. But no, seriously, thanks for everyone to downloading and listening and spreading the word. It's been a good season. Obviously, there's things we know we're going to go away, work hard on, come back with some fresh ideas, maybe make a signing over the summer. I'll put Johnny on the transfer list. But like Royce to Genter, he's going to be hard to ship.
Well, I'm getting on my Instagram right now.
I'm 35 now, so I'm over the other thing.
I've heard the Nottingham Forest podcast is looking so... no, we'll be back, as I said, hopefully in a few weeks' time. But in the meantime, thanks very much for listening. Head over to tylersend.com for all of your needs. And as I said, if you want to join in with this show or the website, tylersend@gmail.com is the place to go. So farewell from us. Ta-da.